نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. سعيد بن المسيب رحمة الله عليه is a leading tabi, one who seen the Sahaba Kiram is called a tabi. So a black man came up to him and he felt somewhat uncomfortable on account of his color, etc. So Sa'id rahmatullahi alayhi comforted him that there were black men that overtook everybody. But Allah Ta'ala, it's not your complexion, it's not your lineage. Karte jao or lete jao. Practice and gain. As you practice, you will gain. So it's not about who you are, the lineage and the color. It's about working, applying yourself and gaining from the treasure of Allah Ta'ala. One was Najashi, and he surpassed everybody. And Allah Ta'ala talks of Najashi and his whole complement in words of praise. إِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ. So honest and so truthful, the first encounter with the words of Allah Ta'ala, تَرَىٰ أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمْءِ. You see the tears just rolling from the cheeks. First, the first encounter. And he says, this word and the word that was sent to Isa alayhi salam is identical, absolutely the same. So only that person can say this who is absolutely truth to that heart and he's got no prejudice. He knows the truth and immediately he recognizes the truth and he accepts it. And Allah Ta'ala speaks about them in praise, the first ayat in the seventh sipara. And he was the only person thereafter, the day he passed away, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed his janazah namaz in absentia. Passed away in Abyssinia, and the janazah namaz was read in absentia in Medina Munawwara by Nabi Sallam himself and the Sahaba Kiram. So it's about yourself, the goodness of your heart, the goodness of your behavior. Karte jao or lete jao. Do and take. Do and take. Then the second person, who overtook everybody else, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, also black, and he overtook everybody. He went through the persecution, all the difficulty in Makkah Mukarrama, burned, scorching sands, tortured, but he would never give up. I have given my life and I have given myself to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and I will stand right till the end. And for a second, he never gave up. Persecuted, tortured, whacked, but nothing will stop and prevent his firmness. So he was whacked and tortured and persecuted just because of Allah, La ilaha illallah. So then he had the honor of saying La ilaha illallah, the first person to say La ilaha illallah in the azan in Medina Munawwara, the first person. And he was the first person to say the azan in Makkah Mukarrama, going onto the roof of the Kaaba Sharif and calling out the azan, he was the first person. So they surpassed everybody. Nabi himself tells Bilal, Bilal, I see your footsteps ahead of me in Jannat. So what is it that you are doing that I see your footsteps ahead of me in Jannat? Obviously nobody can be at the level of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But now being ahead of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam means that how luminary some great personality is moving, then there's an whole entourage around him, security, an entourage. So to be in that entourage also is a thing of great honor. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he is privileged to be the entourage going to Jannat. So Nabi Sallam asked him, "Oh Bilal, what are you doing? I see your footstep in Jannat before me as well." So he says that whenever I need to make wuzu, then I perform 2 rakats of namaz. And then Allah Ta'ala gives him such a beautiful death. So as he's about to breathe his last, his wife is crying, "What are you crying over? Just now, in moments, I'll meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." How Allah Ta'ala just opened it out for him. And the third person that overtook everybody was Hazrat Luqman Alayhi Salaam, also black, and all the features of a black, fat nose, short, dark in complexion, but he surpassed, overtook everybody. So someone asked Hazrat Luqman Alayhi Salaam, "But aren't you that same shepherd that used to be herding the goats at a certain mountain pass?" Said, "Yes, I am that same person." "Then how did you reach up to this point where you are in a point where the whole world flocks at your gatherings? They listen to your words of advice. You are a shepherd grazing goats, and today you are at a position that people from far and wide, they come to you to listen to your words of advice." He says, "A few things that I have committed myself. If you commit yourself to it, then Allah Pak will bless you like how Allah Pak has blessed me." He says, "The first thing is that I guard my tongue. Lies, dishonesty, keeping up to my promise, I'm very particular about it. I'm in a contract, or I made a promise, or I made a pledge with anybody, then I'm absolutely honest, absolutely truthful. I won't rob that person for a cent. I'm so particular about my honesty. Though he's coming from a poor background, but then that doesn't stop him from being honest. So it's not about the background, not the lineage, not the color, but this sifat that counts, these values that counts in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. So one is the tongue and the keeping up to the promises, right? And the second thing he says is that I take care of my eyes. My eyes, I lower my gaze. I just take, I'm very particular about this. One is getting yourself in something that is immodest, unchaste, right? That is a dur ki baat hai. That's a far cry. Even my eyes, I guard my eyes, because the wrong, they startle from the eye. They startle from the eye and then it just escalates, one thing leads to the other. So I'm very particular about my eye and immodesty. The second thing that I have kept myself committed to throughout my life. The third thing that he says that I've committed myself is my neighbor and my guest. I'm very particular about respecting them. Neighbor doesn't mean just the one, two persons that are around you, but the neighborhood. Are you going to be enjoying your meal while there's a person in the neighborhood that is suffering, doesn't have meals? Can you enjoy that meal? How can you enjoy that meal? A person living just around you and you can't even share your food with him. So what a type of a heart you have, whether he's Muslim or not Muslim, but the fact that he's a human being, are you concerned about the neighborhood? He said, "I'm very particular about the neighbor and the guest as well. I respect him, whether he's a poor person or a wealthy person. But the fact that he's my guest, I will respect him." So that's the third point that Luqman alayhi salam brings up, that I'm very particular about the guest and the neighbor. That he's very particular about, he says, so I'm also very particular about not wasting my time. My time and my energy, I see that it's directed to something that is useful. Like how it's become the order of the day, that at least 80-90% of the time is in entertainment, sports, etc. Just a better lifestyle, entertainment and sport. If you analyze our life, then over 80% is just going just to improve a lifestyle, just for sport, and just for some type of entertainment. But he said, "No, me, I just guard myself. Anything that is not of essence, not of any significance, then I don't get myself involved." So Luqman alayhi salam was offered to choose from Nubuwwat and wisdom. And he has to take one of the two. either nubuwat or wisdom. And he chose and he preferred wisdom. And they asked him, you know, nubuwat and prophethood is the highest a person can reach up to Allah Ta'ala. But what was the reason that you chose wisdom against prophethood? So his reply was, see, prophethood and nubuwat is a very, very, very sensitive thing, right? Great responsibility, right? If I had chosen it myself, then Allah would have assigned me to myself. And I wouldn't have been able to bear the responsibility of nubuwat. Had Allah just placed it on me, then He would have taken care of me. But now it's my choice, I accept this or accept that. If I chose this, then the whole responsibility will be on me, and I won't get the special assistance of Allah Ta'ala. That was his answer. Right? So, Uqman alayhi salam's advice was such that he's amongst the only non-Nabi whose advice is recorded in the Quran Sharif. The other Anbiya alayhi salam, and their advices are recorded, but he's amongst the only non-Nabi whose advices are recorded in the Quran Sharif. Allah Pak himself says, وَلَقَدْ أَعْتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ Blessed Luqman al-Islam with wisdom. So, wisdom is not what you make of it. We need to understand that when we are talking about the deen, then we need to see the deeni experts, what explanation they give of it. One is what appears to your mind, and one is what these experts have to say. Obviously, what we are saying is speculation and doubt, right? It's just a guesswork. So, one in a million we may be right. But what the experts say, they have studied the hadith in the Quran Sharif, and then they have come to some conclusions, so their conclusions can't be wrong. So they say that wisdom, what it means, when you talk about hikmah, what it means, to get the right information, correct information, and then to apply it also. So one is the person who's got the information but he's not applying himself. And the one is, he's just trying to apply the information but he doesn't have the knowledge. But the one that knows it very well, has learnt it from the Quran and Hadith, and is applying himself, that's the person of wisdom. Otherwise, you won't call the person a wise person. He's got gold with him, but he's throwing it away. He may know the value of gold, but is it a wise thing just to throw it away? So he's blessed with that wisdom and he's applying himself. That's the person that is called wise. And that is the person that we need to refer to. Now it's become a fashion that any person and every person will just refer to him. He must become a popular person. He must hit the screens, right, in a documentary or something, and then we go after him. Is he applying himself? He's not applying himself. You can't go with that person. No matter how popular and how eloquent he may be, but the fact he's not applying himself, he's violating the teaching of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and publicly he's doing it. When he's doing it publicly, then he's really a person to be emulated. Can't. So amongst his words of wisdom, one was this, that when you entrust anything to someone, right, then the right thing, he must return it to you on call. Whenever you call for it, he must. And there can't be any person that is more honest than Allah Ta'ala, right? He is most honest. And the greatest gift that you have got is the gift of Iman. Is there anything greater than Iman? It's because of Iman that you are here. If it was not for Iman, then you wouldn't have been here. So the greatest gift is Iman. The greatest priceless commodity that we have got is Iman. So the most honest person, the greatest person is Allah Ta'ala. So in the mornings, in the evening, we entrust our Iman to Allah Ta'ala. That when we have entrusted it to Him, then when we need it, then He'll give it back to us. It's time you leave in the world, and Allah Ta'ala will give it to you. So your mind is right, your values are right, not towards modernism, not the deception of modernism, and not the suspicion of the East, right? So you go away from the suspicion and superstition of the East, and the modernism of the West, Westernism, right, leave that out. Go straight on the Sunnah. You are influenced by one, you are influenced by the other. Then he says, again, that the greatest capital is taqwa. That's the greatest capital. You need this capital throughout your life, on the onward journey to the grave, to the hereafter. That's the most priceless commodity. So what's the most priceless provision that you have to take you on this life and to the hereafter? So he says the most priceless thing is taqwa. After iman, it is taqwa, right? And the Quran also says it. So in the khayr al-zadi taqwa, the best provision is taqwa. And what is taqwa? Taqwa, the essence of it is that the areas that you're not clear about, just leave it. Don't speculate, don't doubt. For your good physical well-being, you don't take some substance that you're not clear about. If someone tells you that this is medication, very expensive medication, right? One tablet is 5,000 rand. But there's a doubt that some of it is expired and can be fatal. None of it, from a thousand tablets, and one can be fatal, cost your dear life. Will you experiment with that? So if your physical well-being is so important, then your imani well-being, how much more important is it? Can you gamble? Can you risk your imani welfare? Then he goes on to say that frequent the janazas, janaza and the arrangement for the janaza, etc., burial procedures, follow that. Because that will remind you of your own end. That will remind you that you also approaching that moment. And try and not attend weddings, etc. Because that brings you more to the world. Now you're going to a wedding, you saw the food, you saw the decor on the stage, right? Wrong things happening, mixing of men, women, etc. And that attracts you more towards the world. And this thing attracts you more towards your own end, your own goal. That is now the culmination of your life. So when it's bringing you to the right ends, this is what you're supposed to be attending and frequenting. And then he says in his dua that, "Oh Allah Ta'ala, within myself, let me be of the highest ranking in your sight. In your sight, give me a good rank, good stage, that I come close to you." Obviously, to become the muqarrab and gain the proximity of Allah Ta'ala, can there be anything better? Our whole life is structured that we can gain Allah Ta'ala, gain the love, gain the muhabbat, gain the proximity. So give me the greatest love, the proximity with yourself. And within myself, O Allah Ta'ala, let me feel to myself convinced that I am the lowest of the creatures. That without your blessings, I wouldn't have been, even this masjid I wouldn't have been. So being in the masjid, saying the kalima, that was only your blessing. I mustn't regard it to be my own achievement. So myself I must consider to be the lowest, the weakest of all. So when I'm considering and thinking myself to be the lowest of all, that I won't be looking at his faults and his weaknesses. I'll be trying to correct myself because I think I'm the weakest of all. And that's the way to progress. That I don't know the weakness within myself. If my tongue is right, my eyes may not be right. If my eyes may be right, the ears are not right. I'm listening to anything and everything, but everything, music, everything I'm listening to. My eyes are right, but my ears are not right. So let me be the lowest within my sight. And amongst people, let me just average out. Let me just balance off. Not too low and not too high. Because if I'm high ranking amongst people, then the next problem will be self-admiration. I'm better than this person here, I'm better than him. What is he? He's nothing. He's insignificant. He's a non-entity. So I will despise others, right? And if I'm too low, then people will despise me and they will trample me. Right? They will usurp my rights. So rather, just amongst people, just me, let me be just averaging out that my rights are not usurped and people may not trample me. In the meanwhile, when I'm just averaging out, then I won't be a victim of pride, arrogance and self-admiration, which is a great guna. In this day, we don't consider self-admiration as a sin. We don't consider pride as a sin. And the hadith says that person has got an iota of self-admiration and pride. He can't enter Jannat. La yadkhulul jannata man kana fi qalbi mithqalu dharratin min kibrin. One iota of pride, self-admiration, etc. You got that, and you can't enter Jannat. We don't even, the sin, we don't even consider it as a sin. As we are quick to find out, look out for people's faults. Yes, if it comes up, then we'll address it. But we don't go out looking out for people's faults, especially those faults that they have done in a concealed way. We don't go and look out for that. Yes, we'll try to look for the good for the person and think good of him. But to go and look out for the faults, spy on others, that's not the way of Islam, not the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah give us tawfiq.